This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
The Self-Fulfilling Prophecy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Chablonsky. I don't know if you remember, but just a couple days ago, we told you about this prediction by analysts at Goldman Sachs. It was about oil rising as high as $150 to $200 a barrel within 2 years. Well, that's apparently part of the reason oil has hit its latest record. Also, a weakening dollar has investors snapping up commodities. Oil prices surpassed $126 a barrel today. This morning, Citigroup is fending off calls for a breakup. CEO Vikram Pandit is in the midst of a four-hour conference call with investors and Wall Street analysts. He has some reassuring to do. The bank has reported more than $45 billion in credit losses since late last year. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
In the last few months, Citigroup has raised more than $40 billion from investors to cushion its credit losses. It's announced more than 13,000 job cuts and sold off several chunks of the business. But apparently these measures weren't enough. The bank announced today it will sell some $400 billion in assets over the next few years. CEO Vikram Pandit took the helm late last year. In the webcast this morning, he tried to reassure investors.
Let me just say that today, if we were in a normal environment, we'd be generating $20 billion plus of earnings for our common shareholders.
Of course, this is not a normal environment. Those shareholders have watched Citi's stock price fall by more than 50% over the last year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The Dow is down 120 points to 12,745. The Nasdaq is down 10 points to 2440. The S&P 500 is down 11 to 1386. European shares closed lower, and same thing for Asian markets. Next week, we'll find out exactly how much prices for everything are going up. The government releases its Consumer Price Index. To your ears, it's probably going to seem way too low. Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a closer look.
You just paid, what, about $60 to fill up your gas tank? You're shell-shocked by egg prices. They've risen at least 35%. So why do economists expect the overall consumer price index for April to inch up by less than 1%? Global Insight economist Ken Boschman says the government uses a market basket of goods to come up with a CPI.
There's so many other things in there that aren't that volatile, and they're not increasing that rapidly.
The price of women's clothing is actually down, for example. So is the cost of furniture. But we tend to pay more attention to the prices of things we buy a lot. Adding to the confusion, government inflation hawks give more weight to the so-called core rate of inflation. That excludes the prices of energy and food.
You're telling me that I'm fine if I don't eat or drive to work?
Wachovia senior economist Mark Vittner says that's a typical reaction from consumers. But he says the government needs to look at pricing trends for all goods. Otherwise, volatile food and energy prices will have too much influence. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
When it comes to real estate, remember, it is a buyer's market. So General Motors figured now would be a good time to buy its headquarters in downtown Detroit. It's paying $626 million. A pretty good deal. GM's been leasing the building since 1996.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. By Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
We continue now our coverage of the global food situation.
In Haiti, riots over food prices.
Limiting purchases of rice.
Hey, winter wheat's up 25 cents. Corn.
Higher costs are forcing food makers to make a choice: cut corners or raise prices. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton has more.
After years running his family's Los Angeles tamale shop and restaurant, Raul Ramos dreamed of bigger things. He wanted to take his mother's famous La Indiana tamale recipe to the masses. Today, that dream has become a reality. Ramos's company churns out about 7,000 handmade tamales a day. But the global food crisis now threatens even this small operation on the outskirts of L.A. The world's rising demand for food and energy have raised the price of every ingredient he uses.
They have never gone up this high that I can remember in the past 20 years that I've been working in this industry.
Ramos's main ingredient, white corn, has tripled in price over the last year and a half. That's forced him to lay off a third of his staff.
The customer is only willing to pay so much for the product, and I can't increase my price based on what my ingredients cost.
Morningstar analyst Gregory Warren says price is the last thing food companies want to touch, since competition in the industry is so fierce. That means the savings have to come from somewhere else. And for many companies, Warren says that somewhere else is in the quality and quantity of the ingredients they use.
You know, let's say I have a, you know, sugared beverage, and if I can use a flavor enhancer and use half the sugar I'm using now, that cuts out half that cost.
Kraft Miracle Whip has more water in it. Nestle snack products have less milk. Even Sara Lee has switched to cheaper wheat for some of its breads. Harry Balzer of the consumer research firm NPD Group says reducing the quality of the product may offset costs in the short term, but it could also inflict lasting damage to the brand.
Consumers will not forget this. Make no mistake about that. It will have a longer lasting effect than just this economic downturn.
Raul Ramos is banking on those discriminating consumers to keep him afloat. That's why he's refused to use cheaper ingredients in his tamales. He even grinds his own red chilies. And so far, he's resisted mechanizing because handmade tamales taste better. But Ramos says if food prices keep rising, small companies like his won't be among the survivors.
If I don't know when it's going to end, I can't predict how far I can stay alive.
In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Place.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.